Hey friends, this is Scott, and I've got a word from a new sponsor, and a really cool sponsor, in fact, that I use myself. They are Seek. That's S-E-Q, and you can check them out at getseek.net. That's G-E-T-S-E-Q.net. Seek is the easiest way for your team to capture and search and visualize structured log events. You probably do logging. Maybe you have a Node app or an ASP.NET Core app. Move beyond text files. Check out structured logging. It preserves those individual property values as well as the text that's associated with each event. They get sent across the network to Seek, which then displays them and makes them searchable. It's really easy to get started. You can probably instrument your application if you're already using logging in just minutes. Just go to GetSeek, that's GetSeek.net. You install the Seek server, it's a Windows service, and then it listens and handles all of the logging, whether you're using Node.js and the Bunyan logging library, or maybe you use Cirilog on .NET, or just ASP.NET Core's built-in logging. Seek is there for whatever you want to use, whether it be .NET or Node or Python or Java. It's a really great product, and I encourage you to check them out and support them the way that they support us here at Hansel Minutes. Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today I'm talking with Mark Downey. He happens to be a senior software engineer at Fiserv, but we're talking about side work and fun things that we do on the side. So you and I both run DOSBlog, which is a blogging engine. It's kind of old.
Very old, yeah. So I started using DOSBlog probably in 2006. And before then I was using live spaces and that kind of stuff. So started using DOSBlog because I wanted to basically own more of my experience. Live spaces was probably at that point a year or so from closing down. And, you know, I was shocked by the fact that my online identity could go away so quickly. And so DOSBlog, I think I was choosing between a couple of platforms. DOSBlog and Subtext was out there. And DOSBlog kind of appealed to me because, you know, the files were in XML. So when everybody was talking about XML back then, and it just seemed like a format that I could easily archive and go back to and perpetuate in different formats. So kind of picked DOSBlog years ago for that reason.
Yeah, the database is no database. It's just a file system. There's like one file per day.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It's kind of a unique statement on how blogging is supposed to be. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's more secure. I can't say I haven't had any issues with security, probably through obscurity, but it is comforting somehow to back up a bunch of text files and just know that you've backed up your entire system.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So it's XML, and it was based on, if I remember correctly, when we started, Clemens Vasters started in 2001 or 2002, and then Omar Shaheen and I took over with a team of people, 2003, 4, 5. We got it up to .NET 1.1 and then 2.0. And we stayed at 2.0 for a very long time. When was it you and I that took it to 4.0?
Yes, yes. That's at some point a few years back, I think we decided that it had been on 2.0 for long enough and that there were lots of features we could... Well, just for maintenance of the fact that it was, we needed to maintain it for a little bit longer. And so 4.0 was just an obvious move. That was the point where I decided that I kind of wanted to do some work in public because I felt it was, you know, if there was anybody using DOSBlog out there, you know, maybe the work that I did could be useful to them. So.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because more and more we've been looking at this as a legacy, project is like, here is some legacy code we inherited because I've been using it now for the better part of 15 years and you've been using it for a similarly long time. Right. Why didn't we just go to WordPress?
For me, it was about, there was a kind of a crossover between the company I was working for and the kind of work they were doing and the work that I got to do. So all the time I was trying to flesh out my understanding of the ASP.NET space. And so having a platform that I was sitting on that was that I was using at work kind of gave me an opportunity to kind of look below the covers occasionally. And so that kind of appealed to me, having that measure of control. Whereas if I went to WordPress, I'm certainly no PHP developer. And whatever's going on under the cover, I'm trusting somebody else. And so for me, it was kind of more about control and about understanding the technology and then using that as an opportunity to maybe learn some things as well.
Yeah. The thing for me that has always bothered me is the URLs. I always knew I wanted to control my own URL. I didn't want to go to Medium, as attractive as Medium is. I never liked the URLs in Live Spaces. Like, I feel like Live Spaces almost didn't succeed simply based on the fact that its URLs were ugly.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
That's a horrible thing to say.
Yeah, I must admit, that may have been one of the things that has been difficult about moving DOSBlog, is that the URLs kind of tie us publicly to a particular time and space with ASP.NET, and they don't look great. And so I looked at several solutions within the DOSBlog original code on how to do that, and there was just a lot of legacy to get through to make any kind of meaningful change to that code base. So it was difficult to really dive into web forms and make that change in a really succinct way. So,
yeah, the URLs, every once in a while I will get into Hacker News or Slashdot or somewhere popular like Reddit, and I'll say something declarative about the internet, right? Just like, oh, the internet, blah, 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 or web technologies, blah, blah, blah. And someone will say, this from a guy who's got .aspx in his URL.
Right. Yeah. It kind of tells everybody something. And it's that information that I kind of want to keep to myself about what it is and what our blog is and the technology stack it sits on. They kind of don't need to kind of know that in your URL. So, yeah, I agree. It's always been something I've struggled with, but hopefully I can do something about it in the future.
Well, it seems like the internet has decided that lowercase with hyphens is the way we do URLs when they have titles. So basically do what Stack Overflow does. Have an ID and then a slash and then a title.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then if you can, avoid having your technology have an extension that shows. Like, don't, you can use PHP, but don't let people know that you're using PHP.
Exactly. Yeah.
So time goes by, a year or two goes by. I really only do updates occasionally, but then you started adding some really interesting stuff, and that's what got me like excited and where I officially switched over to like the Mark Downey DOSBlog code base. And it was your social stuff. Like we learned about Open Graph and Twitter cards.
Exactly. So I started, I know, back with this probably in 2006. And so the web wasn't what it is today, 2018. So we're 12 years later. And the web had no idea about Twitter and Facebook and these other social, kind of inflection points for that a developer could use. So for me, it felt like my blog wasn't keeping up, and that was getting frustrating because you have things like Twitter cards that are available. That, so if you share your stuff on Twitter, you can see a little nice little picture and it'll give a kind of a digest of what the blog post is about. If you've implemented implemented Twitter cards, but we never did. And at this point I have it open. I got a chance to look at it, and it became actually a relatively simple process. And then I started to kind of ping you and say, hey, I think I've figured this portion out. Do you want it for your blog as well?
Yeah. And you had mentioned that it was running on web forms, which was amazing at the time, but has now become somewhat of a legacy technology. It moves a lot slower from an innovation perspective than things like MVC.
Yeah, sure.
It was that life cycle of web forms, the way that web forms work, that made it difficult for us to make some of the changes that we wanted to make.
Yeah, exactly. So you tied into a world of, and especially when this started. So this was prior to master pages. This was prior to generics, prior to nullable types. This is prior to all those things that made web forms easy. Those were part of the actual code base, because there is a version of DOSBlog's master pages. There is a version of various things that we now take for granted when we're developing the web in MVC, for example. Not only did they not exist when DOSBlog was being created, that's now another layer that is unique to DOSBlog that we have to maintain in some kind of way. So There's a kind of bloat to the UI layer that even for a normal web forms project probably wouldn't exist. And then the question then becomes, do we want to work on web forms first? Do we want to work on DOSBlog's version of web forms second? And so you kind of have to kind of put in a series of hacks that you know you may or may not have to pay for in the end. And what does that look like for your code base going forward? So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, the fact that DOSBlog, old as it is, was somewhat well-factored in that the templating engine was a thing and the runtime or the database abstraction was somewhat of a service factory, that those things were separate, enabled you to swap pieces out and not swap other pieces out.
Oh yeah. So I mean, the fact is, it was well designed, but it was bespoke. It was just a somebody's invention. So there was no real comparison to maybe what Master Pages ended up being. But as you say, I was then able to say, okay, we can put a layer over all the business logic that currently exists in the DOSBlog code. And we can then talk to a more modern MVC type layer if we want to, because basically all the grunge, all the really old stuff, I guess at that point we were using collections for dealing with array type objects. Those things you don't necessarily have to know about now, because just with a simple layer of abstraction, we can kind of push that away from ever having to think about it. But yet that code that is working very well, that doesn't break, that has been working. I've never had an issue with DOSBlog ever. So all that consistent code still gets used, but we kind of get to reinvent the UI layer.
And the UI layer is one thing that we should talk about and dig into, but it's also worth pointing out that there was a time when DOSBlog was created before C# generics. So you didn't have a list of blog posts or a list of entries.
Right.
You literally had like an entry collection that was generated. We used to have to manually generate strongly typed collections.
Right. Yeah. It's been interesting kind of, it's been a trip down hit the memory lane really, because that is literally everywhere in the code. But if somebody comes in and decides they want to work on it today, you basically decide at the manager layer, and I'm using that in a colloquial sense, it's just a layer, a couple of classes that deal with this is what the controller is asking me for, and I know how to interpret that for the business layers of DOSBlog. So you don't really have to worry about collections now. And that's kind of made easy by certain changes that Microsoft have been implementing with standards across the board.
A couple of times I had made an attempt to go in the direction that you were going, but I have to admit I failed. You succeeded when others failed. I felt like I didn't have enough code coverage to make the kind of changes I wanted to make, particularly around collections. I was too fearful of the code base. And I feel like if I had a robust series of unit tests, I could have refactored with, you know, impunity, but I just didn't.
Right. Yeah. It's, I think it's made a little bit easier. I think the thing that makes it a little bit easier these days is that I didn't have to kind of completely get rid of all the existing code. I've kind of at some point said I'm happy for it to stay the same at a certain layer because that just doesn't give me any value to change it at this point. So I've kind of focused less on changing things and more on how can we consistently use it in a way that's going to give us the kind of performance and reliability that we've relied on all this time?
So when we first started trying to think about the future of DOSBlog, it was just moving it forward in the .NET framework timeframe. But I think both of us had this dream that we could maybe one day run it on Linux or run it on a cheap Linux host, sure, where the PHP people live, or maybe even run it in a Docker container. We tried, if I remember, some attempts with .NET Core 1.x, but it wasn't amazing. It wasn't an amazing experience. What was it that made you come back and try to do this in .NET Core 2.0?
So the original version of the .NET standard, which I think is 1.1, didn't have enough API coverage. And I, you know, I assume that's a function of time and release dates. But with the release of .NET Standard 2, we got a really high level of API coverage. So just from a kind of overview standpoint, what that kind of meant to me is that I could now focus on a standard rather than a platform. So I didn't really care that it was .NET. As long as I could upgrade the projects to a particular version of .NET, which I think is 4.5, I think, if I remember correctly. But as long as I could upgrade all the projects to that and be successful, I knew that .NET Standard 2 would cover that, because there's a kind of a matrix of what does, you know, what various, you know, what the Xamarin standard is for .NET Standard 2 and so on and so forth. So I was able to upgrade the projects, and then core became an opportunity for me and a possibility. And then I started thinking, well, because this is core, and as you say, Linux becomes in arm's reach at that point, because essentially it's able to, core is multi-platform. So getting that standard and getting a more broader coverage of APIs was just the point at which I realized not only can I bring this project forward, I can bring this project forward on any platform. And that was really just an eye-opener and a really, really cool idea.
What were the things that weren't there before? Like, I know we did a lot of regular expressions, and I know that we did a lot of text manipulation. System.xml was probably the biggest one.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff with XML that wasn't there, and serialization, deserialization, which wasn't there. But to be honest, what I tried to do was upgrade the projects to a version of the .NET Standard 1.1, and literally nothing worked. It was obvious that that it was going to be difficult to convert this. When .NET Standard 2 came out, what they brought out was a series of tools that helped you detect which APIs would and would not be covered. So I was able to use those, and I was able to also it just started up. As soon as you hit F5, it was going. I was able to completely go with the project. So it was kind of, this is doable. Because at that point, I was actually running a web forms project in .NET Standard 2 after upgrading, and it was happy. So I knew that converting this and getting an MVC project as the new UI was definitely doable.
What was it that made it possible to go from web forms to MVC? It was the fact that it was already MVC-ish, or was it just that it had a decent separation between UI and runtime?
So yeah, there was a very good separation already in place. There was a set of services that are inside DOSBlog that kind of do the bulk of the work, the bulk of retrieving a set of blog posts for a given time period. The idea of saving blog posts from a web page was all separated out. Web Forms is a massive project. It has a lot of code in it, but it's a lot of code for the reasons we kind of discussed, the idea that we kind of had to invent the framework for developing the web while developing the web. This was obviously your time rather than my time. And so what you actually ended up doing is reducing the number of lines you're actually dealing with by converting to MVC, because the frameworks for developing ASP.NET MVC is much more succinct, much more capable with fewer lines of code, to be frank.
Yeah, it's interesting. When we were doing these things, you know, early on, there was a feeling that we didn't have any tools. We didn't have the things we wanted to do what we wanted. And I don't know if it was simply that we do now have abstraction layers that are what we need, or if just our understanding of the internet changed, because it feels like we spent so much time in the early 2000s trying to hide HTTP from ourselves.
Sure.
And now we just don't, and that's okay.
Yeah, I actually came from my kind of coding lineage starts before C# with VB6, right? And mm-hmm. For me, it was drop an object, click it, and an event set something off. So I was kind of doing the same kind of thing. I needed the on-ramp of web forms to get into web development because of that point and click idea was something I was used to. It worked. It got me upgraded to the web. But then understanding the vernacular of the web is really what actually having DOSBlock kind of helped me do, because the idea of a get and a post wasn't there for me in the kind of desktop world. Web forms is useful, but it certainly it was helping a particular problem that I don't think exists today.
Hey, folks, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsors and remind you that when you support them, you're supporting Hansel Minutes because they make this show possible. Innovative developers help improve the lives of millions of small businesses and accountants that use QuickBooks worldwide. Your app could make the difference that helps them work smarter and put more money in their pocket. Enter Intuit Developer. From tech tools to growing your customer base to helping you get funding, Intuit Developer helps your app go from concept to company. Find out more at intuit.me/code. That's intuit.me/code. So since we started in this and you did your initial spike and now quite a competent spike of .NET Core, we've reimagined or renamed it DOSBlog Core. And it's also been moved from github.com/shanselman to github.com/papa, P-O-P-P-A, string. Papa string, mm-hmm. You're a string instrument player?
Yeah, bass player and a little bit of guitar.
All right. So I thought, and again, I feel like I'm diminishing you or minimizing you in some way, that you would hold it there as a hobby. But somehow issues started showing up and pull requests started showing up. How did this go from being a side project where you and I just keep our blogs alive, our ancient silly blogs, to being a complete reimagination to now being something that's actually got pull requests?
Yeah, it's actually quite surprising, to be honest. So I've always been a developer who kind of develops at work exclusively and never in public. I used blogging as a way to learn, kind of the idea of explaining something, but I never did open source before, except, I just did a few pull requests. I did one pull request of LiveWriter, and then everything else was essentially DOSBlog and this idea that I needed to push my blog forward. It was kind of surprising that I kind of realized at one point that, hey, I'm actually an open source developer and technically a project manager here, and how I was accepting pull requests. So I had to learn a lot of things, right? Because I come from a Subversion lineage, and the idea of Git is kind of still still something I'm learning. I had to get up to speed relatively quickly on how to manage a project in public, how to vet somebody's pull requests, and how to set up issues or receive issues or validate issues. It's been a very interesting experience. The thing that I did want to make sure I did from the beginning was make sure that I had an environment that was welcoming to people. I immediately started thinking about low hanging fruit, and I think actually that kind of helped with people coming to the project, because they saw that I was happy to set up relatively small and relatively accessible tasks, and then I was willing to help people with those tasks and see, set up examples, and then to the more complicated stuff where folks were just generously giving of their time and their skills and kind of adding really important parts. So we just got a pull request the other day related to security, which, solved 95% of the security related questions I had, because I simply didn't know how to do it. And I was able to kind of just finish off the remaining 5%. So it's been both, I've been set it up to make sure that people can do it successfully, but then, people have just been generously giving their time.
How close is DOSBlog Core to being, something you could switch your blog over to, or have you already done that?
I haven't done it yet. I've got a test that I'm hosting up on Azure. That has been critical to this as well. But I've got a version that I'm hosting up at Azure right now that I'm doing some testing on. I think I kind of, in my project manager hat, I'd kind of set milestones as the kind of MVP thing. And the last thing that I really want to do is comments before I kind of really unleash it on my particular my actual blog and replace it. So I've got several open issues related to comments that I want to make sure. And then, you know, my skill set really isn't UI, but I've got to do some, got to make sure that the UI kind of looks the way I was hoping it to look. But I'm maybe weeks away from switching over rather than, and by weeks, I mean spare time weeks, which is, you know, several hours an evening, several hours a week. So yeah, sure. That could be 2 or 3 weeks, but in fact, you know, 18 hours or so, something like that.
How many pieces of it ended up being pure or quote unquote pure .NET Core, .NET Standard, and how many are still being built with the older MS Build and kind of you're using a shim to get what you want?
So right now there is officially, there is a DOS block, there is a MVC core project, there is a standard project as well, and there is a core project, and all the rest are kind of old, they kind of point to some kind of version of .NET. Project, and there may be five projects that are going to probably live on, and maybe another three or four that we can get rid of. So there's still quite a few projects that are related to .NET, but I think that's going to kind of present a challenge with building across platform, but certainly for deploying to other platforms, I think we'll be fine. But that's still going to be a bit of a challenge there, I think.
I see. So you're calling out the difference between building on Windows and deploying on Linux versus building anywhere.
Exactly. I'm not sure if we're going to solve that problem, to be honest. So,
yeah. Well, some of the things that it depends on are really, really old. There's a POP3 mail thing that was written by Paweł Leszczynowski in like 1999 kind of thing. You know, the question is then, we used to have features in DOS blog where you could basically email your blog post and then we would use POP3 to retrieve the blog post and then post it, which was quite revolutionary for the time. One solution might be just to remove that functionality and then you toss that entire library, right?
Yeah, precisely. So yeah, there are quite a few features even right now that tie us either to a project that we don't necessarily need anymore or to a technology that, you know, we don't have to have entire projects dedicated or entire, you know, series of classes that's dedicated to. And as you mentioned, POP3 is one of those projects that we should be looking for a NuGet package to kind of replace. We have whole projects dedicated to things like capture. And I think we can do, there's better solutions that are kind of open and that are probably a better fit at this point. One of the big ones that I'm looking forward to fixing actually is there's a custom implementation of time, how time is managed and time zones. It was interesting because this one has ties to things like accessing the registry, which obviously is a purely Windows thing. It uses the registry, I think, to pull out all the possible variations of time zones out there. And then,
which have no doubt changed.
No doubt changed in the last 18 years or so. This is an antiquated system. There's things like Noda time we could use. So I'm kind of looking at how we can take out portions of the project and replace them with standards that are obviously available to every developer. So.
Yeah, indeed. If we could change the CAPTCHA for modern techniques, right? Like the CAPTCHA generated a CAPTCHA on the server side with system.drawing and made a GIF and sent it across the wire, that can be re-CAPTCHA, right?
You're exactly.
We could toss POP3. It's funny. If you go back and look, it's almost a historical project thinking about how we used to blog, like pingbacks and trackbacks. they're probably not needed either. You could refactor via subtraction.
Exactly, which is, again, you know, a lot of this stuff you're mentioning here were handlers, HTTP handlers and HTTP modules that existed that were part of the old system.web way of thinking. And so part of what I've been trying to do is look at conversion points. So that's one right there. So there's a direct connection between something like middleware and HTTP handlers and modules. You can kind of almost kind of do a bit of mental gymnastics and say, and figure out how to convert a module into a middleware, which is much more in line with ASP.NET, MVC, and core. So, yeah.
Since ASP.NET Razor Pages, which is still ultimately MVC, came out, have you thought about whether you want to keep this as an MVC very kind of model view controller or more page focused with a template potentially being a Razor page?
Yeah, I've at the present, it's very much the MVC model of it, where you can call bits of views and have them then make up a bigger view, especially when it comes to that kind of homepage view with multiple blog posts in it. So I've stayed away from single pages mostly because of, you know, I know MVC a little bit better, and it was a better fit to the pattern of collecting a series of objects and then converting them to a series of views. So presently I'm kind of more the MVC pattern.
And did you use a view locator, or how do you swap out the entire theme? Because one of the things DOSBlog did that was so great was not just swapping out CSS themes, but entire physicality, like the fundamental markup theme was swappable.
Right, exactly. So there's this interface called iViewLocation Expander, which allows you to define which location you want to go to for some set of views. And so I've kind of used that as a mechanism to say, well, I want you to look in this location based on this series of settings coming from this file, from this XML file or from this JSON file. I forget which one it is. But so that iView location expander kind of just gets injected with information from our configuration file, and then I'm pointing to another location. I've got to kind of flesh that out a little bit more, but right now it works, and I do have a theme folder that this whole thing kind of points to.
One of the last things that I wanted to kind of comment on and ask you about is I personally recently rewrote my podcast site that I've been talking to folks about. So when you go to hanselminutes.com, it's running .NET Core. And I've added testing and unit testing and integration testing, and I've added Twitter card support, and I've done all this different stuff and ultimately created a bunch of really great blog posts because I'm working on something that I'm excited about, that I'm passionate about, that affects me personally. Yeah. And if folks go to papastring.com, I'm just looking, for example, at your blog post, Avoiding Threading Issues in ASP.NET Core.
Right.
You've got like 10 or 11 really great, nice, technical, solid blog posts. So you're practicing kind of what you preach. Like, you're not just learning, but you're putting what you learned into blog posts. I was curious if working on DOSBlog and getting involved more in open source as a not 9-to-5 developer has got the blogging juices going again.
Yeah, definitely. It gave me a lot of material to think about. So the way I basically learn is I pick a topic, I try to explain it as simply as I can. I then try to figure out if I've made any gaps in that kind of explanation, and then I review and I kind of simplify in that kind of way of processing it. And so seeing how ASP.NET has gone from ASP.NET System Web has gone from where it's at to where it is today has kind of presented me with tons of deltas to kind of talk about. So almost all of the blog posts kind of look back and then kind of look at what the direction we're going. Because it feels to me like Core was the chance we have to, if we could do it all again, this is the way we'd do it, right? But then understanding what it was kind of presents you with a really good arc to kind of discuss and see how it's improved, and then kind of understand it at a really deeper level. So that's been very helpful for my blogging, just to get something new.
Well, I'm looking forward to helping you more on it and working on it, and hopefully at some point moving my blog forward, which is going to make me feel still a little bit like its legacy, but it's also a new legacy that we're building on a new platform. And I assume that you noticed something interesting happened online a couple of weeks ago where the folks at Corgi Bytes, this is a company that is dedicated to dealing with legacy code and teaching people how to deal with and move forward legacy code projects, picked DOSBlog to do some mob programming on.
Yeah.
They got like a half dozen people in the room to brainstorm about, you know, how to refactor and make the code base more modern, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's a very good idea to do something like that. Yeah,
it is. And people can go and check out my YouTube channel. And you and I spent two or three, long, somewhat sloppy hours, pair programming, not quite Twitch live programming, but we had fun.
Yeah.
Hacking on DOSBlog. And I assume you would still look for volunteers if people are interested in helping out.
Yeah, absolutely. If people are interested in helping out, there are a lot of issues, various levels. I'm on Twitter a lot. So if you get into an issue and you get stuck, or you're just looking to get a couple of issues that are for beginners, there are lots out there and I'm happy to help.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.